Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 3, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Blake Bedingfield, former Titans Director of Scouting and contributor at PaulKuharsky.com as well. Blake, good morning. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, good morning. It's starting to feel like football weather outside, and it's time to talk a little bit more football.
No question about it. I almost had to put a hoodie on this morning, but we'll see how that goes as we continue this week. So, Blake, things were going well for the Titans. It's 13-0 at half. They looked good defensively, maybe left a few plays on the field offensively in the first half. All of a sudden, things changed dramatically, particularly against the run defensively in the second half. From your vantage point, what happened to the Titans' run defense? What was the change in the second half?
You know, I think it was a little bit of a change from the Giants' perspective. If you look early in the game, they were a little bit pass heavy early on, trying to play off of Saquon Barkley with some play action. But in the second half, they made a concerted effort to really get the ball to one of their best offensive players, which was Saquon Barkley. Saquon is an elite back when he is healthy. When he's ready, he is a kind of a mix of power and speed, quickness, but he has really good vision. And when you have that combination of athletic skill, instinctive running skill like Saquon has, he's a tough out anytime you have to play him. But what he did a good job of was kind of getting skinny in the hole. You know, the Titans have been a good tackling team over the past few years, and on Sunday that was one of the things that really they struggled with. But the other part I feel that the Titans are a little bit different is their inside backers. David Long is a 225-pound, smallish inside backer, very instinctive, likes to go get it, very aggressive. But when you're playing against a 235-pound running back and you are outweighed by 10 pounds, you're going to have to bring a one shot. And he's got one shot to get Barkley down, and Barkley's not that kind of back that goes down that easily. The other inside backer, Zach Cunningham, totally different than what they've played with in the past, whether it's Rashawn Evans or some others. You know, Zach is more of a finesse-type inside backer, better in coverage, uses his size and length well in coverage versus tight ends, running backs, playing that zone that he plays very well. But the inside run game is a little bit more of a tough thing for Zach. Zach likes to run around blocks, and if he runs around and misses, Saquon Barkley was through the hole. So some of those things are, from a personnel standpoint, just totally different than in the past, and some of them were facing an elite-type running back like Barkley.
Blake, what did you think about Jeffrey Simmons' entire day?
You know, Jeffrey was dominant from snap one, and when you're playing that left guard position, they had a rookie playing the left guard to start out the game, and then they rotated a veteran player in later to try to handle Jeffrey Simmons. Neither one was going to be able to block him one-on-one. That's the issue with Jeffrey Simmons. He is no longer a player that you can do that with. Early on in his career, he was kind of surprised by certain blocks. Didn't have a good understanding of how offensive linemen were attacking him. Well, he does now, and he has the physical ability to beat most one-on-one blocks, depending on the guard that's in front of him. But the guards on Sunday were not going to do that. So they had to change up their blocking scheme a little bit, try to trick Jeffrey in terms of changing up who was attacking him, whether it was a center and a guard chipping on him, whether it was a guard fanning or turning backside to block him, a tackle getting a little bit of a hit on him. But Jeffrey's tough. Once he gets the crease, once he gets that gap, he's not going to be stopped by most guards in the NFL, and he was a dominant force. They were able to rotate around him and kind of move around him in the run game and the passing game.
Blake Bedingfield on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, former Titans Director of Scouting, contributor at PaulKuharsky.com. Blake, some interesting plays from Kyle Phillips in the game. The rookie comes out, 6 catches, 66 yards, including a big one on what could have been the game-winning drive for the Titans had they made the field goal. What did you make of the day from Kyle Phillips?
you know, Kyle had a lot of success. He had his ups and downs. He obviously had the muff punt, which put the Giants in a good position to score, which they were bailed out by Monty Brooks' interception. But he also had a drop on a big first down catch that he missed. Kyle is a very instinctive player. He's a really good route runner. He has the unique ability to separate. I don't think he's the fastest player on the field, not even the quickest at times, but he has a unique ability to separate from coverage. A lot of that is his instinctual ability to kind of get in and out of his breaks, have that feel. The other person that has the feel with him is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill really likes Kyle Phillips. You can see on that last drive how many times he was focused on Kyle, whether it was kind of the corner routes they were running or any out routes, any crossers. You know, those are things that Kyle Phillips can do well because he can't separate at the line of scrimmage. Now, Kyle takes hits, and he takes a lot of hard hits. It seemed like every catch he had, he wasn't avoiding tackles. He's a slight frame guy. I wonder if he can hold up for 17 weeks with his play style. He's got the really good hands, the really good route running, and I think he's going to be a really effective player, but I'd like to see him avoid some of those big hits. He took a number of them in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, Blake, he definitely took some shots. With the offensive line, Blake, Nicholas Petitfrere's debut, excuse me, obviously the Titans get a break with Ojulari and Thibodeau, excuse me, not in the game. But I wonder what you thought about his play, maybe also Aaron Brewer's play, I guess the offensive line overall, and how you might project that to a much bigger challenge Monday night in Buffalo.
You know, I thought the line overall played well. You know, I thought Taylor Lewan was really quick in and out of his in and out off the ball. His initial quickness was really good. Looked like he was back to form. I know he went out a couple of times with injuries. That's something Taylor has been fighting for the last few years. Aaron Brewer's an undersized player. He's going to be an undersized player for the rest of his career. But what he does really good is he's got really good initial quickness. He's really good to the second level of linebackers. But where he struggles and where those holding calls came on him were he was facing bigger players, and he's facing big, long defensive linemen. And when he faces those type players, he's going to have to hold at times. He's got to learn technique a little bit better where he can kind of get away with it. But when you're 6'1", 290 pounds going against a 6'5", 300 pounder, it's going to be a tough matchup. And Leonard Williams was a tough matchup for Aaron Brewer on Sunday, especially at the line of scrimmage in obvious pass situations, even in run situations where Leonard had that link to get around him. Ben Jones played a very good game. I thought Ben was solid as always. That's kind of Ben's game. Nate Davis, who didn't do much in the preseason but came in, was kind of Nate Davis at all. And I was pleasantly surprised with Nicholas Petitfrere. Nicholas is, I think, a better run blocker at this point in his career than pass protector. He did get a little help from tight ends and running backs chipping on the outside. But when he was manned up one-on-one, I thought he did a really good job. But in the run game, I thought he was really effective getting to the second level of linebackers, reaching on the backside of blocks to the opposite side. I thought he did a really good job and showed some quickness and some promise. He's a young player. He's going to learn some patience and pass protection and be able to use that frame he has. But overall, I thought the offensive line was solid. Now, this week is going to be a much tougher matchup. You're talking about Von Miller, I think a future Hall of Famer that had two sacks in his first game. Von Miller is an outstanding rusher. And if you don't think they're not going to line him up on that rookie right tackle, the Titans are going to have to give him a lot of help. But they have other players outside of Von Miller. Gregory Russo, the rookie last year, the second-year player, another outstanding length, great length pass rusher. Boogie Basham, A.J. Epinesa from Iowa, those are all outstanding players. And Taylor Lewan and Nicholas Petitfrere are really going to get a tough matchup when you're talking about Sunday, as well as on the inside with Aaron Brewer, with Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips. They've got a really good defensive line, and the talent level's about to tick up a big notch coming next week.
Blake Bedingfield on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Blake, I'm curious for your thoughts on Derrick Henry and how he ran the ball on Sunday. Obviously, he had two bigger runs called back due to holding, but overall, what did you make of Derrick Henry's day?
You know, whenever I look at a player like Derrick Henry, who's taken a number of carries over his career, I start to look at early in the season, is he starting to show signs of slowing down? You know, I saw it with Eddie George. I was there with the Titans when that happened. Other backs like him. But Derek just has a tendency to start a little slow. I thought he did a good job of, when there weren't a lot of creases, getting those 3 and 4 extra yards. There were a number of occasions where there were defenders in the backfield where he was able to get back to the line of scrimmage. I call that a plus run because he was able to avoid a negative play in those situations. He did have a couple of creases. I think he had a long of 18 yards. But as Derek kind of gets his footing and feel in the run game, I think he's going to be a better player down the stretch. I really always have hopes for a player that works so hard and is so talented as he has. But you got to watch that right foot. He had that major surgery on that foot. He has plates and screws still in his foot. You just never know when that's going to creep up. Hopefully it won't, because he's such a talented player and enjoyable to watch. But, you know, I didn't see the burst that I saw last year. But last year, going into the first couple of weeks, he didn't have that either. So I'm hoping that later in the season, it's maybe in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see the old Derrick Henry.
Blake, I want to go back on the rush defense a little bit. You know, you talking about Long and Cunningham, a duo I've been excited to watch this year. Like, I got why the Titans decided to, you know, pay Zach Cunningham, keep him here. Do you think that this is a one-off? You know, you had a special back. Every matchup's different. Sometimes you're just going to get beat in this league. Or do you think that the Titans could have an issue with rush defense after being number two in the NFL last year?
I think they'll have, you know, when you sacrifice maybe a rundown thumper for more athletic players in coverage and more sideline to sideline horizontal players like a Long and Cunningham, it's okay. You just have to readjust your run game, your run fits at times. You know, I thought Amani Hooker in the game on Sunday really didn't do a good job of taking good angles to Saquon Barkley. He's going to have to be that extra run defender in the box at times, especially against upper echelon type players like maybe a Jonathan Taylor when they play the Colts. But they're not facing a lot of big-time backs this year outside of Taylor and then with Saquon. So I think they can avoid some of the big rush games that they had this past Sunday. But when you sacrifice and you go to more of the athletic inside backers and not the thumpers, that this is something that's going to creep up at times. They're just going to have to change a little bit of their run game, some of their fits maybe on the front and then on the back end. But Hooker's got to do a better job of taking better angles as well. He was beat on that long 68-yard run by Saquon Barkley. He was an unblocked defender coming down into the box, and he took a really poor angle, and Barkley beat him to the sideline. Those are things that can't happen when you're an unblocked defender near the box. So, you know, it wasn't just all the inside backers, but that was a big part of it. But I also think Harold Landry's loss, not only in the pass rush game, but in the run game, was affected. Harold Landry was a very good rundown defender, and he kind of evolved into that as his career went through. He wasn't like that early on in his first couple of years coming out of Boston College, but he developed into a really hustle player that got a lot of plays and a lot of production in the run game.
Blake, last thing for you. Obviously, this is not the way the Titans wanted to begin the season, a tough loss, and now facing a really quality opponent coming up in week two. After watching the game, watching the tape, is there anything that you're really concerned about, maybe above others moving forward with this group?
You know, I am. I think the defense is going to be fine because of a lot of the players on every level of the defense, whether it's Simmons and, you know, you still have Bud Dupree and you have Kevin Byard and the young corners. But the offensive firepower really concerns me. When you lose an A.J. Brown, you saw what he did on Sunday for the Eagles and what he's done in the past. You lost a dog on the outside. You lost a guy that kind of brings an attitude, an energy to the team, and somebody that can take over games and stretches. I don't think they have that guy at the receiving position.
Blake, really appreciate your perspective. Great stuff, as always. Looking forward to talking to you soon, and really appreciate you joining us this morning.
You bet. I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Blake Bedingfield, former Blake. Titans Director of Scouting, contributor at PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Retro. We'll take your thoughts. Lots of interesting stuff there to get to from Blake, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of that next. This is Robbie and Retro at 1025, 1063, the game.
You know, Kyle had a lot of success. He had his ups and downs. He obviously had the muff punt, which put the Giants in a good position to score, which they were bailed out by Monty Brooks' interception. But he also had a drop on a big first down catch that he missed. Kyle is a very instinctive player. He's a really good route runner. He has the unique ability to separate. I don't think he's the fastest player on the field, not even the quickest at times, but he has a unique ability to separate from coverage. A lot of that is his instinctual ability to kind of get in and out of his breaks, have that feel. The other person that has the feel with him is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill really likes Kyle Phillips. You can see on that last drive how many times he was focused on Kyle, whether it was kind of the corner routes they were running or any out routes, any crossers. You know, those are things that Kyle Phillips can do well because he can't separate at the line of scrimmage. Now, Kyle takes hits, and he takes a lot of hard hits. It seemed like every catch he had, he wasn't avoiding tackles. He's a slight frame guy. I wonder if he can hold up for 17 weeks with his play style. He's got the really good hands, the really good route running, and I think he's going to be a really effective player, but I'd like to see him avoid some of those big hits. He took a number of them in the game on Sunday.
That was Blake Bedingfield, former Titans director of scouting and contributor at PaulKuharsky.com, who joined us in the last segment. Lots of really interesting stuff there from Blake to get to that I want to get Joe Rexroad's thoughts on as well. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, there's a lot to sort through there from Blake Bedingfield. Let's start on the defensive front in the second half, the run defense. Obviously, as he pointed out, you're going up against, when he's healthy, pretty darn good running back in Saquon Barkley. What did you make in particular of what Bedingfield said about David Long Jr. and Zach Cunningham and their role in the rush defense, and maybe how that has affected this year moving forward with those two in the box defending the run?
Well, I was a little surprised by the Zach Cunningham comment because, I mean, Zach Cunningham, like the numbers on him as a coverage linebacker aren't good. And I guess I view him as a little bit more of a physical box linebacker than the way Blake just described him. I mean, he is long, kind of lanky and athletic. So the going around blocks thing makes sense. But I've also, I mean, yeah, again, this is the difference between someone who is a director of scouting and, say, me, who is a director of having my ninth coffee right now in a Detroit Lions mug. But
restore the role.
I've definitely, yes, yes. But I've seen Cunningham violently throw blockers to the side and be a good run stopper. But essentially, you know, I think the one thing that's consistent, I think most people say, like, he didn't play well in this game. The Titans paid him to play well. I think Blake also brought up a good point there that, you know, how many times on the schedule are the Titans going to really have to deal with a great running back? I mean, that's
yeah,
like there aren't a lot. That's the thing. That's so the way the league is now, having more side to side guys, so to speak, at linebacker is really the way most teams go. And it's because most weeks they don't have to deal with Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley or Jonathan Taylor. I mean, there are some other good backs, but even some of the other better backs in the league are considered top backs in the league, with a big chunk of that being that they catch the ball to the backfield, right?
Right.
So I thought that was very interesting. I don't think we're going to be talking most weeks about some huge rushing total for the opponent. If so, boy, they have problems.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really interesting point that Blake brought up. His thoughts on Derrick Henry were interesting, too. We've talked a lot about Derrick Henry on the show today, and you know, he said last year, maybe early on in the season, he did not see that explosiveness from Henry either all that much. And then as the season went on, obviously prior to the injury, he saw it more and more. Hopefully that's the case with Derrick Henry this year. But what did you think of Bedingfield's comments on Derrick Henry as well?
Yeah. Well, of course, if it follows the same pattern, then last year, of course, week two, he lit it up in Seattle. And that's what it's going to take for the Titans to, I think, have a chance Monday night, is for Derrick Henry to come out and run wild on them. So, I guess, like, for me, again, my overall takeaway is open mind. I thought he didn't look as, like, I know people have brought up the run total from last year against Arizona. It's hard to evaluate that game because it was so out of hand early. But regardless, I thought he made an interesting point about Henry still being able to, you know, get some positive yardage. Look, he was stacked up. They were all over the box. And you have to keep that in mind too. I thought it was also interesting to hear Blake's evaluation of the offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of Petit Frere with a good debut. Brewer, you know, you see where some matchups can be issues for him. And obviously coming up here, boy, there are good players all across that front for the Bills.
Oh, and then the issue that Blake was most concerned about, that I think as I watched the game on Sunday and as you continue to move forward here, is going to be a big question that the Titans are going to have to answer. You lost A.J. Brown. We know about that. We've talked a lot about it. Do you have enough in the passing game? Like, do you have enough with your quality of wide receivers and or pass catchers that you can be explosive, moving the ball down the field? Can you generate enough vertical plays? Can you be consistent in the passing game? Seemed like that was a pretty big concern for Blake Bedingfield. That's a pretty big concern for me about this Titans team as they move forward here.
Yeah, and we talked earlier today, you know, Treylon Burks, I think, has to more and more try to, you know, make up for that, has to emerge. And I thought for week one, that was a pretty encouraging sight, what he did out there, but they've got to get him on the field for more than 37% of the snaps. But yeah, I think there are a lot of things that didn't go well in week one that I expect to get better for the Titans. That one is just hard to project that it will. Now, I think, you know, Woods and Hooper or some weeks are going to be more involved. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but are you going to be, you know, I think back to the early Mularkey days when, you know, they had DeMarco Murray going and they had Delanie Walker, and they played the game in like about a 15-yard box on the field from the line of scrimmage, because they just had no one who could go downfield and make any plays. And, you know, of course, they drafted Corey Davis. They tried to address it. They got Taywan Taylor in. It looked a little bit to me the other day like that time period going back 6 years.
Yeah, I thought so too. And it's one of those things too where, you know, as you look at the offense, you know, we talked about Hooper, Woods, Westbrook Akine, the veteran guys have to have a bigger role. You know, specifically with Westbrook Akine and Woods, I don't know if either one of those guys have the type of explosion or down the field threat that I'm talking about. Woods is obviously your best chance. Like Westbrook Akine, I think, can make some good plays for the offense. I know in my heart Westbrook Akine is probably at best a number three wide receiver in this league. So what does that mean for the Titans as they move forward this year? Robert Woods, I didn't see a whole lot on Sunday. Now, it's one game. You don't overreact. He's got a career's worth of body of work that is pretty darn good. So, you know, I we'll see how he continues to evolve and progress in the offense as they move forward here. It's not like he's alone in terms of guys that have had some disappointing week ones before, but that's got to be something as they move forward here that gets a little better. Matt from Camden on the text line says, do you think our smaller linebackers will have an issue with Josh Allen Monday night, or will their speed make up for them being small against that offense? This from Matt from Camden on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, to be clear, one of them's small.
Correct.
It's long. You know, Zach Cunningham's not small. Blake was just saying, you know, he's more of a finesse player sometimes in trying to get around blocks and stuff. To me, that's why you have guys like this. You know, Long has become effective in coverage too. He's a blitzer, but he's a guy who can run and chase down running quarterbacks. So, in something like this, and again, most weeks, I think that this is what you want, but they have to play well.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Got a lot to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plus, what is an overreaction? What is not to the Titans' Week 1 performance against the Giants? All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville on the text line says, Joe, you were spot on with your A.J. Brown alarms when we lost him. It's massive. Every team can now double down on the recent playoff losses and strategy of doubling down on Henry. As such, you'll have a very un-Henry type of year, which effectively dooms them. Again, kudos to you when you sounded the alarm. While I feel like the bulk of Titans fan, the Titans fan base just whistled through the graveyard, I can tell you the national perspective was that it was a massive loss. The Jareds of the world aren't experienced to have understood that. Sorry, just a fact. Nice shot at Stillman at the end of it from Will from Nashville. Joe, your response.
For the record, that was it. I didn't take the shot.
You didn't
take the shot. Well, I said thank you, Will. But also I said, you know, maybe Treylon Burks makes big gains and at some point gives this offense, you know, a consistent threat who can actually manipulate defenses a little bit. I still think, although there were some nice moments from him Sunday, you know, I don't think they're ready for that right now. If I was Todd Downing and all those guys, not that it wasn't a priority already, but I'd be doing everything possible to try to get him the ball in any kind of space and see what that means for my offense. Because right now it does look like it's going to be a grind. By the way, this brings up something too. Can I just tell you my least favorite Twitter right now?
Sure.
It is, I sure hope AJ gets hurt Twitter.
Is that a thing?
It's anytime it comes up, someone, and again, it's not like actually saying, I sure hope AJ gets hurt, but basically it's, I hope AJ gets hurt Twitter. Let me find a tweet. Let me find a tweet to illustrate what I'm talking about. And this happened a lot in the wake of the trade, of course. I had just a beauty last night. Of course, now I'm going through the mentions of, after I called that a coaching atrocity. Okay, here you go. At MJA_DHO. Sorry, but AJ wanted to get paid like he never gets hurt and misses games. The Eagles will look like geniuses until he runs a slant and somebody puts a helmet in his chest and he missed a word here. He is a few more games. His body will gradually break down. I think the Titans were wise to let him go. This is, again, to me, I read that as I sure hope he gets hurt. Maybe I'm being a little cynical there.
I think you're being a little cynical there.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I'm having a bit of a day. But I get the sense that there is a little bit of like, you just wait, AJ's going to get hurt, and then the Titans will look good. Your team screwed up, Titans fans. They shouldn't have traded AJ Brown. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Well, 10 catches, 155 yards on Sunday. You look pretty darn good out there. So, look, maybe he will get hurt. I don't know. But I know this, when he's healthy, he's pretty darn good. And right now the Titans passing game does not look great without A.J. Brown out there. And, you know, those guys don't grow on trees. Blake Bedingfield put it out there. You know, you lost a dog. That's what you lost out there. And the Titans don't really have one right now. Hopefully Treylon Burks can be that at some point. But we'll see what happens on that front. So, Joe, this is always one of my favorite weeks of the year in the NFL because it's right in the aftermath of week one. This happens every year. There are teams that go down in week one that you look around and you say, huh, okay, well, the Seahawks just beat the Broncos last night. What does that mean? The Vikings absolutely torched the Packers. I mean, you can go up and down the list. Cincinnati, you know, Joe Burrow looked pretty bad on Sunday. They still found a way to win that game. You can go up and down the list. For the Titans, you lose to a team like the New York Giants, who were just atrocious last year. And they've got a new coach. Saquon Barkley's healthy. We'll see what happens with them this year. But it is a ripe week for overreaction. And what's always interesting to me is trying to determine what exactly is an overreaction and what exactly is not. For instance, the Titans got absolutely torched last year by the Arizona Cardinals. Their defense did not look good. Their offensive line was atrocious. They got destroyed in that game, and you thought to yourself, man, that was really, really bad. Maybe this defense is going to be every bit as bad as they were a year ago, and maybe the Titans aren't going to be very good this year. Well, obviously, they went 12-5. The defense was the strength of the team by the end of the year, and those two things were overreactions. What was not an overreaction, as you pointed out yesterday, is the Titans' offensive line didn't look very good in that Week 1 game against Arizona, and they did not look very good all season long pass blocking for Ryan Tannehill. So it's interesting to me, as you look at this game on Sunday against the Giants, whether it be the run defense, the wide receiving core not being able to create enough separation, make plays down the field, Derrick Henry, throw whatever you on the list you want to throw on it. What is an overreaction? What is not? I'm not sure we know completely the answers to those yet, but it is going to be interesting to monitor that as they move forward. I feel like maybe the defense and the run defense, a little bit of an overreaction right now. I think they're going to be fine, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think if there's someone on the test, well said here by T from Clarksville, the overreaction is the Titans will absolutely suck, all caps, this year. That is I agree, that's an overreaction. Now, his not an overreaction is Todd Downing is bad and will never ever lead this offense to a Super Bowl. I would say the most likely thing to not be an overreaction is what we've been talking about, which is just the explosiveness of the offense. But Todd Downing has to be part of the solution there. And I will say this on Todd Downing's behalf. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to him right now. Not to the Chig call, because the Chig call was bad. It's not just the whole, you got Derrick Henry, you know, why would you do that? You're overthinking it. Like, it was a doomed play. Like, plays like that are, there's a lot of time that goes into them. There's a ton of information that we don't have and never will have. It's not just, hey, let's try this play to Chig. Yeah, let's try that. I bet you that'll be good. Like, they look at Giants' tendencies, and I know it's different because it is different with a Week 1 opponent, right? Which is, by the way, an argument for not having a play like that, because you don't actually have film of that defense with that D coordinator, right? You're guessing based on the D coordinator, really. But like, that's, you know, that is a terrible call, and it was a critical call in this game. And I think last year was underwhelming from Todd Downing. I think some of the overreaction is, we're like, when is he going to be fired? Is the firing imminent? And, well, first of all, let me just say, in reality, knowing what I know about Mike Vrabel, I would not be looking for like a Week 4 pink slip from Todd Downing.
No.
Okay. Now, I will also follow that up by saying, and someone pointed this out on the text line, and we've talked about it many times, Tim Kelly's a guy the Titans were interested in when that opened up. He now is employed by the Titans. That is a totally different deal than Bowen Schwartz last year. But the Todd Downing story is going to be a big story. I think you have to try to be – I thought that there were actually some good things schemed up by the Titans on Sunday. I think Dontrell Hilliard's stuff, those touchdowns, was that scheming? Was that Giants botching it? I don't know for sure. There were some other plays that I thought were good. So you have to try to look at it, I think, with an even keel. But I think that's going to be the cause for overreaction, Robbie, of like anything else we could talk about with this team is Todd Downing. He is he's the lightning rod right now.
Well, he's the lightning rod. And no matter what happens offensively, if things don't go well, whether that be because of Todd Downing or whether that be just because they can't get open, like, it's going to be on Todd Downing as they move forward. And you know, I think that's just reality of the situation with the fan base as they move forward here. Like, Lynn from Greenbrier on the text line says, I don't see an overreaction to Todd Downing because some of the same stuff was being said last year. I mean, I would say this. I think he's got to get better. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, the play calling has got to get better. The offensive design has got to get better. Like, there's got to be a way to move the ball and score more points. And the Titans offense, quite frankly, for going on almost a full calendar year, I mean, and a lot of it was injury related last year. I understand that, but it was a pedestrian offense. Like, it was an average offense last year, and some of that was quarterback, some of that was AJ Brown being hurt, a lot of that was Derrick Henry being hurt. I understand all that, but it's an average offense, and it didn't inspire a whole lot of confidence on Sunday for me watching them on the offensive side of the ball. So that's going to have to be something that gets better as they move forward here. We'll continue the discussion. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is an overreaction to week one? What is not an overreaction to week one as it relates to the Titans? More of that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are at home at First Horizon Park, taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. As we know, Joe Rexroad, big fan of the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, one of the great names in sports.
Oh, man, absolutely love it. It's not the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs, but it's up there.
Make sure you check that out tonight at First Horizon Park as the Nashville Sounds continue their push as they get down the final stretch of the season here. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Sean on the text line says, I feel like I'm the only person on the planet who thinks Tannehill played right into the hands of the Giants. Ben, don't break scheme. Tannehill only took what they were giving him, never trusting his receivers to be able to win in tight man one-on-one coverage. This from Sean on the text line. What do you think of that, Joe? Did Tannehill maybe not take enough shots with his receivers in one-on-one coverage down the field?
You know, Vrabel talked a little bit about, and I don't even remember what the question was, you know, about the whole, like, missing someone open. And Tannehill has absolutely, in recent times, you know, missed some huge. Think about that Baltimore playoff game last year. Other games he's missed some open guys. A.J. Brown in particular, the Ravens game, just wide open on the sideline for the game winner, and he doesn't hit him. But like Brable was saying yesterday, you know, you have to remember sometimes, like, you're on one side of the field and you're going through progression. So, like, it's not typical that you can just go ding, ding, ding. Oh, there you go. So I know people talk about Robert Woods being open on one play, and look, go through the entire all 22 tape of this, and you'll find where they're open receivers. But look at where Tannehill's eyes are, what the play is, where he's supposed to be, and then how long he has with the protection. Frankly, Sean, I feel like Tannehill was pretty good. I think he was one of the bright spots of Sunday, and I think it's, you know, I guess you could say try to force some more balls in on some situations, but I thought quite a few. He had what, 20 completions? There were some gimmies. There was like the Hilliard wide open passes and stuff like that. But I felt like he completed quite a few passes into tight coverage as well on Sunday. I thought he was fine. I thought you have to look. You don't give the other team the ball, and you put your team in position to win at the end. I don't think Tannehill's where we look. And that's the crazy thing too, Robbie. We're talking about Tannehill having a pretty good day, and they lost to the Giants.
Yeah. No, it's crazy to think about. And, you know, I can't speak out of both sides of my mouth when it comes to Tannehill. Like, my big thing with him heading into the season was take care of the football. And that's what he did on Sunday. You know, at some point, are you going to probably have to take some shots down the field? And maybe if, you know, some 50-50 balls that, hey, by the way, felt pretty good throwing about those 50-50 balls to A.J. Brown. Maybe not so much now. Yes, at some point you're probably going to have to do that, but I have no problem with Tannehill being smart with the football. Like, I felt like he was, for the most part, pretty smart with the football on Sunday, and that needs to continue if you're the Titans. Kyle on the text line says, while it would have been great to seal a win in week one, I'm not panicking. A lot of teams, including ours, don't play much in the preseason. So week one's very sloppy. I watched a lot of football this weekend. Saw a lot of sloppy play from what should be good teams. If this continues in week four or five, then I will be very concerned. Steven from Hendersonville on the text line says, Vrabel and Robinson are entirely too arrogant and set in their ways for how little they've actually accomplished. J-Rob has only extended four of his draft picks. This roster only has 20 of 52 J-Rob draft picks. Vrabel is too loyal to his staff and refuses to make the necessary changes. This from Steven from Hendersonville on the text line.
Well, they've had some success. I think we should all be able to agree on that. As far as Robinson, like, again, these recent draft failures are tough, and it's just terrible timing. Now, granted, you're in a window because of what you did to build the team to the window, right? So that's also on J-Rob's resume, but the recent draft picks are, to me, a bigger concern than how many he's extended. If you build a team through free agency, through finding Aaron Brewers and Nick Westbrook Akines, you win, you win. So that's what I'd say about him. As far as Vrabel, I will invoke Jared's name because I listened yesterday. I will say, like, Jared's obsession with firing Craig Aukerman is truly spectacular, I must say.
Well, look, there are special teams things that certainly you can look at coaching. The punt returner muffing a punt, I don't know what the coach is supposed to do about that. Catch the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and missing the field goal. Like, Jared actually, that was part of it. One of his examples for, like, Craig Aukerman being fired is Randy Bullock missing the field goal. It's like, yeah, I'm never going to give special teams coach credit or blame on a field goal kicker. Now, if the operation's messed up or whatever, fine. I guess you can look to the special teams coach like, well, choose a different punt returner, right? Stuff like that. But
yeah, he also had a 50-yard punt return. I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, the Titans special teams have been underwhelming. They haven't been great, but I don't understand the obsession there. Now, on the Vrabel being too loyal, I think, you know, we're going to see if Todd Downing responds and does his job well. And at some point, then that may be quite a test of Vrabel. I don't think we've gotten to the point yet where Vrabel has been too stubborn in a situation like that. Everybody thought so with Shane Bowen after 20.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with what Vrabel did in not naming him. I think that was a mistake, but that looks okay now, right? What Vrabel example of too much loyalty would you criticize?
Well, I think when that is being said, I think Todd Downing is what they have in mind. Now, the Todd Downing picture is still incomplete. We said it in the last segment. Like, he needs to get better. And he is – not that this ultimately matters a ton in the end, but right now with the fan base, I mean, he's fighting an extreme uphill battle. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, Cash from Waco on the text line just texted in and said, "It's sad that if you gave me a choice between Downing and Rubisky, I'd probably choose Rubisky. And Rubisky got Mike Mularkey fired." I mean, that's – look, I always hesitate when we start looking at social media, engaging, like, the text line for a barometer of – how an entire fan base feels. But I do feel like there's a pretty healthy amount of discontent for Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator among Titan fans right now.
There is. No, I think there is. Social media, our interactions with listeners, my comments on my stories at The Athletic. I mean, I think it's fair to say a lot of people unhappy. It's also worth pointing out the offensive coordinator is just naturally, you know, to me, offensive coordinators come under fire way more than defensive coordinators because, talked about this a million times, like, we can actually track the actual things that offensive coordinator does play by play a lot easier than the DC or just any other. I mean, honestly, offensive coordinator in football is just, you're automatically a lightning rod. And the overreaction thing though, Robbie, I did during the break, I did a little exercise. I went back to last year. It's always interesting, like, reading when you compare the overreaction this year to last year. I went and read an unnamed Athletic columnist column from the Titans Arizona game. And let me see if I can read a passage, which is I'll read this quote. "How bad was it? The first quarter saw new offensive coordinator Todd Downing come out with Henry runs on first down on each possession, yielding a combined -2 in yardage. The Titans had -1 yards of total offense in the quarter, first quarter, going 3 and out, except when they turned it over before they got to 3 plays. Chandler Jones belted Tannehill naked bootleg." Okay, I'll fast forward a little bit. "The Titans were predictable, out of sync, and soft on offense, which adds up to terrible." Let me fast forward to the very end.
Pulitzer Prize-winning piece. Yes.
Yeah. "How did this not win a Pulitzer? It's absolute criminal. Quote, the Titans are like a fancy restaurant with a world-class chef that just opened to great acclaim but had to shutter quickly because of health code violations. Todd Downing grabbed the disinfectant," end quote. Oh, man. That's poetry. Beautiful. But I will say, so last year, now I think the offensive line, like you said, that was the protection was a consistent thing. I don't think Todd Downing last year was a consistent issue all season? I don't personally think so. That first game was not a good debut for him. This last first game was not a good debut for him. So I don't know what that means moving forward. People are going to be all over him without question. And it's got to be an uncomfortable spot for him because he knows there's a guy who could take his job here.
Well, the predictability is the thing to me that's going to have to change. And people might say, well, what do you mean predictability? Y'all were just hammering him yesterday for running an end around to a tight end on third one. There's nothing predictable about that, which apparently it was for the Giants because they were all over it. But, the stat we read off yesterday that Glennon put out there from Next Gen Stats of the amount of times on first and 15 or less that you're running the ball, 78%? I mean, that's an incredibly high number to be doing that on first and 15 or less, running the ball with Derrick Henry. And I get it. Derrick Henry's your best player. We've talked all show long about how if you don't get Derrick Henry going, it's difficult to imagine what the offense can be in terms of making enough plays down the field. But, Joe, I also feel like, part of getting Derrick Henry going is being a little bit less predictable of when he's going to run the ball, and that's got to be something that changes, I think.
Yeah, and look, they had success passing on first down, too, and it's something to keep in mind. That brings up – I know we got a break. A couple people on the text line today have brought up were the Titans not wanting to show too much to the Bills and stuff like that, and, that's a college football playing a – FCS team thing being vanilla. I mean, in the NFL, you game plan every week. You have a certain number of plays you rep all week. Those are your plays, and it's not different. So, no, that's. I mean, they're going to have a different game plan for the Bills, but they had a credible NFL game plan to try to win this game. And by the way, they were in great position to win it, and then they didn't show up in the second half.
We'll get back into the Titans, particularly the offensive side of the ball, coming up at 9:30. Coming up next, we'll get into the Vols. Gigantic win for the team over the weekend in Pittsburgh. What does it mean moving forward? How much do you believe in this Tennessee team? All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.